Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now here in this neck of the woods. And that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then we have our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. What a joy to come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been with us this month, you know that we're going through a series called He is Our Deeper Dive. That's the portrait of God that I'm focusing on. And as you know, I see all of Scripture as a collection of portraits of God so that we can get to know His heart and His ways so much better. But what's unique about this particular series is that the five takeaways on this topic of how He is our deeper dive are actually five additional portraits describing the progression or the depths of the Lord as we grow in Him in salvation, in discipleship, in faithfulness. So we're finishing it up today. We're coming to number five. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be at several places today. John 15, 2 Corinthians 5, Colossians 1. I'll remind you of that again in a moment. But you can start making your way over to John chapter 5. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these radio broadcasts, the 27-minute teachings, are archived on my website. That's markpg.org, markpg.org. Just go to the landing page, click on the gray box that says Broadcasts, and then the box that says Portraits of God, and you'll have the list. And by the way, on that first landing page are other gray boxes. One has articles that you can print on that I've written for area publication. Also, it has some printed guides, outlines on character qualities and hot topics in the Christian life. Also has a box for videos, and these are the YouTube videos I've done, 3-minute devotionals on portraits of God. There's about 62 of them there you can look through and listen to. And all of these have one purpose, to help you hear God. Oh, that's my heart. And that's what we want to do today. So as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I am very grateful for the privilege of coming together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet. We are so ready to hear Your heart, Lord. Open the ears and eyes of our hearts to receive the depths of Your truths. And in this case, the depths of all these portraits that really is the progression of getting to know You better and better. So thank You for the privilege. Thank You for being a God who loves to speak, usually in whispers, to Your children. We're ready to hear. Oh, thank You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. Well, my friends, just as a brief overview of where we've been as we wrap up this this monthly series on how the Lord is our deeper dive, we get this portrait out of Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2, and then verses 5 and 7. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for You, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Oh, why are you in despair, my soul? Why are you restless within me? Deep calls to deep. My friend, do you sometimes find yourselves in deep places, just frustrated, spent out, burned out, even angry, depressed, all those things? Listen, no matter how deep your valley, He is deeper still. The depth of the Lord Himself calls to you, especially when you're in those deep places of struggle and agony and frustration and despair. Oh, deep calls to deep. And so this has been the kind of the umbrella portrait under which we've had five more, and this is the fifth one we're going to talk about today. But number one was how when we enter into our personal covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, when we get saved or born again, the Bible puts it a lot of ways, it's highlighting the fact that He is our merciful Savior. He's our merciful Savior. That's our point of entry into the depths of a deeper dive in the Lord. He is our deeper dive. We start off how He is a merciful Savior, but He's more than just a Savior. It's more than just a ticket to heaven. It's more than just, you know, getting saved, we're done, we're in the club, or we're in the family, and we're one and done. No, it's much deeper than that. However, I will say this, never lose the joy of your salvation. That's why the psalmist prays, restore to me, Lord, the joy of my salvation, utter gratefulness that I was a downcast sheep. The Bible says I was blinded by the god of this world, in the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. A miracle had to happen. The Bible says in Matthew 9, we're downcast sheep, that is, on our backs, upside down, unable to get up, like a turtle on its shell in the middle of the road, spinning around. He saved us from death. Wow. That's our merciful Savior. Secondly, we discovered that our journey goes deeper, and we discover that He is not just a merciful Savior, He is our gentle teacher. Mark 10 tells us how people were bringing the children to Jesus, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, He was indignant and said, "Hey, allow the children to come to me. Do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Such as these, a childlike heart, full of trust, ready to learn like children. That's the spirit that we should have as disciples. But the disciples of the day weren't quite there yet. So He's, the Lord, is our gentle teacher who gives us the milk of the word at the beginning. Then later on, the meat. We sit at His feet and we let Him just reach our heads and hearts, our souls, our spirits, and we build trust in Him. Whoa, we spent a lot of time on that one. And then we come to number three. It's not just there. We don't just sit and soak, though that's good, but we also want to serve. We were called to serve in the court of the King. We are to serve as servants, and He is our master, but He is our gracious master. And that's the third portrait. As we go deeper in the Lord, not just experiencing Him as our merciful Savior, not just as our gentle teacher, but even deeper, we get to be bondservants of the Lord, of the Master, of the King, of the Ruler. We don't have to serve Him. We get to serve Him. In fact, a bondservant was one who voluntarily gave up their freedom, handed their freedom papers, they rejected it. No, I'd rather stay in the court of my gracious Master and King and serve Him than to go out and build my own little kingdom. And we talked about this and how that, if we're not careful though, can be where we get stuck. Okay, got to do our duty, got to serve Him. So just do your duty, jump through the hoops, do the performance things, but we can get resentful and bitter, seeing it as a task and a job, like the prodigal son's brother, the bitter brother, who when his dad said, "We're going to celebrate the return of your younger brother," the bigger, bitter brother said, "No way, man, I've been here doing the right stuff and you don't even celebrate me." Man, we can get that way. Christianity is much deeper than just serving out of duty. And that takes us to number four. We went deeper last week. We discovered that the Lord, our deeper dive, is not only our merciful Savior, not only our gentle teacher, not only our gracious Master, but if we go deeper, we find He is our loving bridegroom. This is fascinating. It's over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, and it's called a mystery, where it says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. We are His beloved bride. He is our loving bridegroom. He wants us to experience and receive his unconditional love, not earned love. We grow up thinking love has to be earned. You need to be a nice guy. You need to be obedient. You need to be a good kid. If you do, we'll love you more. If not, man, get out of the house. But he has an unconditional love for us that never wavers. It's incredible. It's an unbridled love. It's lavish. It's not guarded. He doesn't hold back. You, my friend, are a delight to the Lord. But if I were to ask you that question, do you think you are a delight to the Lord? Most of us would say, not really. Sometimes, but usually, no. I can be a jerk or I ignore him and, yeah, he's probably not too happy with me right now. No. That's a lie. He loves you. He may not be pleased or blessed by what you're doing or not doing, but that doesn't mean he doesn't love you and draws you more and more into himself. And when we receive that unconditional love of the Lord, when we know we're a delight to him, even when we mess up, especially when we mess up, because he's got that kind of grace-based love for us, the more we absorb that deep in our hearts, the more that comes out when we get squeezed by the disappointments in this world, by the people in this world, because we have so much love saying, they're works in progress, just like I am, but my loving bridegroom always keeps me close and he will never leave me or forsake me. My friend, discover that and you'll discover a depth of the Lord that will keep you safe, secure, and feeling confident and loved and at peace, even in the midst of the messiest of circumstances. But now we come to the final one. Oh my goodness, this is the deepest of all, one of the hardest to grasp, so much so the Bible says it's kind of hidden and it is a mystery that must be revealed to the saints, but for those who will just keep on swimming, by the way, that's a line for those of you who don't know from Finding Nemo, that great children's cartoon movie with Nemo, but Dory, his bluefish partner, when in time of trouble throughout the seas, they were getting a little frightened. She would say, just keep on swimming, go deeper. My friend, that's my word for you through this series. Keep on swimming, keep going deeper. And when you do, you're going to get to this fifth portrait of God, which is where we really, really begin to experience the supernatural dimensions of our relationship with him. This mystery is great. It's been hidden from the past ages and generations, but is now being revealed to the saints. Let me take you to several portions of scripture to set this up. I really want you to get this and watch for this. Here's the portrait that's going to unfold. He is not only our merciful Savior in our deeper dive. He's not only our gentle teacher at the next level down, and then to go another level down, he's our gracious master, and the fourth level down, he is our loving bridegroom. But now we're going to discover, as we keep on swimming, how he is our fruitful oneness. Now that sounds a little strange. Why? Because it is a mystery. It is deep. It is hard to grasp, but I'm going to do my best to give you a picture of that, because I want you to go that deep as you keep on swimming, to get to that place where in the depths of the oceans, you will not feel the hurricanes above the waters. This world has so many hurricane issues going on right now. It's crazy. I mean, COVID started it off, a cascade of all kinds of domino effects. It's just an angry culture. There's so much going on. But you know what? The more you dive deeper into the Lord and discover the secret of the fruitful oneness we have as believers, you can get a peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of this crazy, tumultuous world. He is our fruitful oneness. Let me start giving you the picture beginning in John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains or abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this metaphor specifically is giving us the picture of abiding in the Christ, that is being so deeply connected as a branch to the vine that we will bear much fruit. All we have to do is just keep hanging around, immersed in Jesus, or marinating in Jesus. You ever marinate a steak in a marinade? Yeah, you got to keep it in there for hours and it just goes deep into the meat so that when it gets put on the fire, it doesn't get burned off because it's deep in the meat. Listen, the more you abide or immerse yourself or marinate in Jesus himself, the more he seeps into you and you in him, and there's a oneness there. And then in this particular metaphor that we're talking about diving deeply in the Lord, you're diving deep into the marinade of the sea, which is the Lord himself, which gets us so saturated, we can experience peace way below the surface level where the hurricanes are raging in this world. But let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love this passage. There's a couple of really good ways to try to describe the miracle of this, the depth of this. Listen, when we're lost, we're like for example, a caterpillar, you know, shoveling along the dirt, you know, and all. But when we get saved, it's like entering into a chrysalis as a caterpillar and being transformed, or metamorphosis takes place. And what comes out of that chrysalis? Not a caterpillar, but a butterfly, a colorful butterfly with wings. Now you're able to fly and enjoy the skies and the flowers and the meadows and all of those things that a caterpillar cannot do. You became a new creation in Christ, something totally different. In the literal spiritual world, that's almost like an oxymoron, but there is a spirit world. It's invisible. We can't see it or touch it, but it's very real. We have our spirits, once we get saved, made alive once again because it was dead. The Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sin. But when we get saved, as Christ to be our Lord and Savior, become born again, we become new creations. Our spirit comes alive, and it's that spirit that's able to intertwine and become one with the Spirit of the living God as a new creation, combination of the divine and the human. Wow. I know I'm going deep, but this is what the scripture's talking about. When we're a new creation, we're not just a human physical creature with a soul and with a body, but with a dead spirit. That spirit becomes alive and enables us to connect with the Holy Spirit. Now we're a whole new creature. We're butterflies instead of caterpillars. Amazing. Amazing. Or to go back to the water metaphor, we've been people living on the shores, but then we become transformed into fish. Now we can dive in and swim at will into the depths of the ocean with gills that breathe the salt water because we're new creations now. In fact, there's a children's story I love to tell just to illustrate this. Let me go ahead and share that with you because it might be helpful. Once there was a little fish named Fred. Fred the fish loved to hang around the shallow waters near Coney Island, and he would look through the surface waters and he'd see those flashing lights at night. He'd see the Ferris wheels. He'll see the cotton candy stands. He sees people just enjoying themselves on roller coasters. And in the day, they're walking the beaches and playing beach volleyball, and they're throwing frisbees, and they're laying out in the sun catching the rays. And every day he'd see that, and every night he'd see that going, wow, that looks like fun. And day after day after day, that temptation kept coming to him till one day, right in the middle of the afternoon, he decided, you know what, I can't resist it anymore. I'm going to go and ride that roller coaster. I'm going to get some cotton candy. I'm going to soak in some rays. And he flopped out of the water onto the beach. Well, of course, as a fish, we know what happened. He doesn't breathe air. He has to breathe salt water. He started gasping for salt water. He started dying on that beach, flipping around. Fortunately, a little boy and a little girl came walking along and said, "Oh my goodness, look at this little fish." And they picked it up and threw it back into the ocean. And oh, the joy of getting that first gill full of salt water and not die. And he instinctively swam to his parents and told them what had happened. They said, "My goodness, Freddie, you didn't. You flopped on the beach. What were you thinking? Well, it just looked like so much fun. Every time, I mean, I look up there and so many people were having that. But you're not one of them. You're not a human. You're a fish. And that's death to you over there." I know that now. And besides that, the depths of the ocean are so vast and so beautiful, you can spend a lifetime exploring them and never even come close to finishing the tour. Just keep on swimming, son. Keep going deeper and deeper. Don't hang around the shallow waters to be tempted by that which can kill you. Go deeper and experience a whole new world of wonder. My friend, when you get saved, Jesus, our merciful Savior, saves you from that dangerous shore, so to speak. Now you're in the shallow waters, but don't stay there. You'll get tempted far more regularly and far more strongly if you stay in the shallow waters. Be joyful, He's your merciful Savior, but show that joy by swimming deeper. Gentle teacher. Then swim deeper than that, gracious master. Then swim deeper than that, loving bridegroom. Then swim deeper than that towards this oneness, this fruitful oneness, that as we abide in Him, saturate ourselves in Him, immerse ourselves in the depths of who He is and what He offers us. Like He said to Moses at the burning bush, "I am that I am." That is, I am whatever you need. Keep on swimming. Keep going deeper. You have the mind of Christ. We become merged into oneness with Him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And then chapter 3, verse 3, put it this way. Again, Colossians 1, 26 through 28. And then chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible says this: "The mystery which had been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been revealed to His saints, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." My friend, when you get saved and you start discovering this depth, these progressions, and we swim back and forth through all of these depths because we're human and we lose our focus, but in a perfect world, in a perfect spirit, we could always stay in this depth of the conscious oneness we have in Christ. Our lives are hidden in the depths with Christ as our bridegroom, whom we are one with. We are in Him, but then Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We're intertwined into becoming a new creation, abiding in Him to bear much fruit. That's why I call this portrait of how He is our fruitful oneness. We, as new creations, keep on swimming. We keep and access the mind of Christ in oneness with Him, in union with Him. And this is how He works through us, rather than, you know, thinking that we're the tool and He's lucky to have us. No. You got to get out of the way so that I can work through you. My patience, as you receive My patience towards you, you will have patience towards other. As you receive My love towards you, you will have My love for others. If you receive My kindness toward you, you will have My kindness to give to others. If you will receive My comfort into the depths of your being, Me in you, you in Me, that comfort will just come out to you. Listen, if you were to take a big, huge, crusty, dry sponge and you immerse it in a liquid, whatever liquid you immerse it in When you take it back out, it's going to be sopping that particular liquid. And when it gets squeezed, it's really going to squeeze out a lot of that liquid. But here's the question. What are you soaking in? If you're soaking in shallow, muddy, filthy waters where you're looking constantly on shoreline activities that make you want to do those things that are actually going to hurt you and kill you, when you get squeezed, that murky, dirty, sewerish water is going to come out of you. What are you watching? What are you doing? What are you reading? Who are you hanging with? Are you soaking in that more than the Lord? Then no wonder when you get squeezed, that kind of stuff squeezes out of you. But if you keep on swimming and keep on swimming to the depths of the Lord, and you're soaking Him in, that oneness now is such that when you're, you know, out and about, you're dripping with the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It comes as you abide in Him. You get all that. And when you get squeezed, that comes out. The Bible says, above all else, be fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. How do you get that? Just saturate in the love of Jesus, experiencing Him in all these ways in your deeper dive, and you will have a fruitful oneness in Him. Wow. Well, Lord, thank you for this word today. What a progression we have. We know we swim back and forth, but oh, how we long to learn to stay in the deep in fruitful oneness with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, oh, fall in love. Go deeper to the Lord, your fruitful oneness.